The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Matos, Matos Umase. And in the beginning of Parshas Matos, Vayedaber Moshe al Rosh HaMatos l'bnei Yisrael l'mor. Hashem spoke to the heads of the tribes of the children of Israel, and he said, Zeh hadovar asher tzivo Hashem, this is what Hashem has commanded you. Is ki yido neder l'Hashem, if a person makes a neder to Hashem, that's what we would call a vow, or hishav ha-shvua, or an oath to Hashem. Le'asoy isor al nafshoy, in order to forbid to himself something which is not necessarily forbidden to him, to himself. For example, he takes a neder or a shvua, a vow or an oath, that tomorrow he's not going to eat any food. He's going to make a fast day. Or he's never going to smoke again. Or he's never going to drink wine. Or, for example, he's not going to eat meat anymore. Or he's not going to drink milk anymore. Whatever it might be. This is what the Gemara refers to. Incidentally, there are two Mesechtes which deals with this, Mesechte Nedorim and Mesechte Shvuos. Nedorim deals primarily with vows, and Shvuos deals primarily with oaths. Currently, the Yeshiva is studying Mesechte Nedorim. This is what is referred to as Nidrei Iser and Shvuos Iser. A person takes a vow or an oath to forbid upon himself something which is normally permissible. Lo yachel devore. He is not allowed to desecrate or to profane his words. Kechol hayetze mipiv yaseh. Whatever comes out of his mouth, he must fulfill. That means that he has to keep this neder and this oath. If he doesn't, then he transgresses a negative commandment and a positive commandment. A negative commandment, le'yachel dvorei, that he shall not profane or desecrate his words. And kechol hayetze mipiv yaseh, everything that comes out of his mouth he must fulfill. And then the Torah goes into great detail into the legal intricacies of the Nedorim and Shvuos. There is a way in which a person can legally get out of a vow or a shvua, and that's through annulment. He can go to a Bezdin or a Chochem, and he can explain to them what he did, and if he can give a good reason why it should be annulled, then they have a power, the Torah gave them a power to annul this vow or oath, and this is what is known as Hatoras Bezdin. Actually, we do this Erev Rosh Hashanah in many places. And the Torah also goes into detail when it comes to if it's a young girl and she's still under the jurisdiction of her father, then her father can annul her vows and oaths. Or a woman who is married, if the oath or the vow relates to him or the marriage, then he has the power to annul. And that is what is known as not HaTorah, but HaFora. There's a strange Gemara in Mesechta Nedorim and Daf Chof Beis. Third Perek, Perek Gimel, Daf Chof Beis. The Gemara says, even though the Torah has given us the power to make Nidrei and Shvuos Iser, these types of Nedorim and Shvuos, Nevertheless, Desanya Rabnosan Aimer, Haneder, Kilobona Boma. People who do make these Nidorim, it's as if they are building a Boma. A Boma was an altar. The Boma was something which was very common before the time of the sanctuary, the Mishkan of the Beis HaMikdash. People would build their own altars and they could sacrifice to Hashem. Once the Mishkan, the sanctuary, was given, Nasru HaBomais, then the altars, the private altars, became also forbidden. At the times when the Mishkan, the sanctuary, did not exist, then Hutra HaBomais, then the Bomais became permissible. Once the Beis HaMikdash was built by David and Shlomo HaMelech, King David and King Solomon, was the last Mishnah Masechet Zevachim, tells us Nasru HaBomais LaOlam. We were forbidden forever to have private altars, and when we wanted, or we were, either we were obligated or wanted to bring korbanei sacrifices to Hashem, we had to bring it to Yerushalayim, to Har Habayis, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the altar in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the bomeis are asura, and if somebody does sacrifice, this is what is known as shkut echutz. This is a serious avera. So Reb Nosson comes along and he says, a neder ki labona boma. Someone who makes a neder, it's as if he builds a boma. Vamakayma, and he fulfills the neder, is kilo makriv labkob, and it's even worse. If he fulfills the neder, it's as if he brings a sacrifice on it. And this is a very severe avera. We might ask, so what's he supposed to do? He's not supposed to fulfill it. He's not allowed not to fulfill it. So the commentaries say that he should go to a chochan, to a bezdin, and get it annulled. Then a little later, Shmuel comes along and says, Doma Shmuel, afal pishimakayimai, that someone who makes these types of nidorim, even if they fulfill it, nikur rosho, he is considered a rosho, an evil person. Now, this is a little puzzling, this Gemara, because the Torah gave us a right to do these things, and what's so wrong about it? What's so wrong if a person takes vows that tomorrow he's going to fast, or tomorrow he's not going to eat this or that, or so forth and so on? And actually, the Gemara does say that under stringent circumstances, where a person feels that it's something that is real, real necessary, all right, he can do it. But he should know that it's bordering on something which he shouldn't do. If you have someone who feels he's becoming addicted, heaven forbid, to drugs, and he feels that if he takes an oath or a vow, it will help, all right, then he should do it. Or other such things. But nevertheless, the Gemara says, these are the facts. Now the Ran, the major commentator on Masechta Nedarim, he has difficulty trying to understand this. And he says, Nirbeine de lahochim madam in le bon bom, mishum de solak adaita de neder de mitzvah kovid. He says, perhaps this is the reason. Because a person thinks, if he makes these types of nidorim, where he's forbidding on himself things, he's doing a mitzvah. Because we see that the Torah likes to forbid things upon ourselves. See? We're not allowed to eat bacon, and we're not allowed to eat horse meat. And there are so many things the Torah has forbidden us. So then it's a mitzvah. The more one will forbid on himself, the greater the mitzvah. So he thinks he's making a mitzvah. The Rachmona Asrei B'mili Disura V'yu Nami Osaranavshi V'ko'omar, and that's what the Gemara is telling us, the Toy. He's making a great error. The Araraba. Not only is not a mitzvah, it's an avera. He's bein a bona. He's building an altar for himself. Why? Because just like the Torah, we see the Torah likes sacrifices. How many parshas in the Torah do we have where the Torah obligates us in bringing sacrifices, or tells us what kind of great mitzvah it is to bring it? And if a person comes along and uses that same mentality, that the Torah wants us to bring sacrifices, therefore I will build my own private altar and I will make sacrifices, do you think that's a mitzvah? That's an avera. It's true that the Torah wants sacrifices, but it wants the sacrifices under the ground rules, the guidelines that the Torah gave. So the same thing over here. It's true that the Torah might like prohibitions, but it likes the prohibitions under the guidelines that it gave. In other words, her prohibitions, the Torah's prohibitions, not your prohibitions. So therefore, someone who takes Nedorim Nidre Isher, it's as if he's building a boma, it's as if he's bringing sacrifices in such a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never asked them for and doesn't want it. This is what the Ran explains. This is a very good interpretation. However, there's one that's even better. And this is in the Maral Miprag, in his Pirush Nagodos, and Masechet Nedarim, when he tells us a very great principle. He says, what was wrong with the bombers? Why shouldn't a person have an altar? If we were against sacrifices, so we can understand why a person shouldn't have altars. But since we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants sacrifices, and we have so many different types of sacrifices, so what's wrong with the bomber? What's wrong with it? And not only that, we see it was permitted during the time of the Oves, Avraham, and Yitzchok, and Yaakov. So what's wrong with it? The answer is, and this is clear from many, many Gemaras, the Boma always represented the dispersion, the disintegration, the breaking up of the unity of Klal Yisrael. Because we find that when we had no central altar, then we had our own personal altars. But when there was a central altar, a central place, then was Nesru HaBomes, the Bomes became forbidden. What was the purpose? Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, make for me a Mishkan, a sanctuary, or make for me a Beis HaMikdash. The purpose was, the Rambam brings, to unite all of Israel in one place. Once the Beis HaMikdash was established, then all of Israel brings their sacrifices only to one place and to one altar. And all of Israel comes to that place three times a year. Three times a year is a mitzvah. Yeroea calls Chorcha, Espanei, Odan Hashem, Velo Yeroa Espanei Reikon. All of Israel comes together in one place. They all bring their sacrifices. There's a medrash, we learned Parshas Kerach not long ago. Well, Moshe told, and Aaron told Kerach, we're not like the other nations, who have many places to sacrifice, and many kahanim, and many altars. We have one place, we have one altar, one king God. And the Gemara always used the expression of a boma for someone who is perish minat zibur, who divorces himself from the nation. He goes and he builds his own private altar. This is what the Boma always represented. When we had no central place, then there was no other alternative. But once we did, and even once Yushalayim was chosen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yushalayim is chosen for me forever. See, in other words, there's only one capital for Israel, there's only one Ir HaKodesh. Alright? Now, so the Maral says like this. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, he gave one Torah to Israel. We have again many Gemaras that forbids us to do things where it's going to be nearer Kishtei Torahs, as if we have two sets of laws. It always says, HaMishpot Echot HaGer Kochem. You'll have one set of laws for all of you. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah and he forbade us to do many things, this was the Torah he gave to Israel, and this was the Torah he gave to all of Israel. If a person comes along and he starts to make personal prohibitions, he is separating himself from the cloud, from all of Israel. And he's making another Torah for himself. Torah said, meat which is non-kosher, you can't eat. Kosher meat you can eat. He comes along and says, I will eat no meat. So all of Israel can eat meat. He doesn't eat meat. Torah said, wine, you can drink. He comes along and says, I do not drink wine. So one Torah was given to Israel, and another Torah was given to him. It's the same as building his own private altar where all of Israel will go to the Beis HaMikdash to offer their sacrifices. He will offer his sacrifices in his own way. That's what Renoson said. And the Tchilas HaPrishon, the beginning of the separation of himself from the Klal, is the building of the Boma. The ultimate fulfillment of the separation is when you sacrifice on it. That's why it states that someone who makes these types of nadorim, it's as if he builds a boma. If he fulfills it, then it's as if he sacrifices on the boma. Shmuel comes along and says even more. Nikra Rosho. He's called a Rosho. Why? The Maral explains. What is the Torah? The Torah is Emes and Tov. It is a way of life which is perfect. It doesn't lean to the right. It doesn't lean to the left. It's called Yosher, Yeshurun. Pekudi Hashem Yeshorim. It is perfectly upright. A Rosho, an evil person, is when you deviate from what is good, what is perfect. Someone who deviates makes no difference if you deviate to the right or to the left. You're deviating from what is good, what is perfect. This person is deviating from what is good and perfect. Because what the Torah gave is good and perfect. Now you come along and you add to it, or you take away from it. You're deviating from what is good and perfect, and that's a rosho. Similar to what the Gemara says to the Nozer. The Nozer, that's the Nazirite, that's the one who he forbids himself from wine. So he has to bring a korban mechatas, he has to bring a sin offering at the end. And the Gemara asks, why? Because chetahu, he made a sin. What kind of sin? It's not enough what the Torah forbade on you. You had to go and add to it. So this is the explanation in this Gemara, which is something very, very profound. From here we see the importance of not separating oneself from the heart of the Tzibur, from the centrality of Klal Yisrael. This is why we had a Beis HaMikdash, one Beis HaMikdash. This is why we were given one city, Yerushalayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said will be the center. This is why we were forbidden to have our own personal bomes, our own personal altars. And this is why, unless in very extreme situations, the Torah tells us, the Gemara tells us, we have to be very careful when making Nidrei Yashvuas Yisrael to add new prohibitions to the Torah, which the Torah itself did not give to Klal Yisrael, because we are separating ourselves from that Torah which was given to the rest of Israel. We have many, many sources to this principle. Many, which naturally we couldn't cover this evening, but let's mention one or two of them. In Sefer Malachim of the Tanakh, Malachim Beis, Perek Dalet, we have the story of Elisha, who used to travel, and he would come through a certain city, Shunem, Vishom Isha Gedola, and there was a very great woman. This is in Malachim Beis Perek Dalet Posuk Ches. Vatechazak Bei Lechol Lechem, and she was a very great woman and great in deeds, and she knew that he was a special person, Elisha. So she wanted very much that he should lodge by her. So she used to press him very much that he should stop in and eat by her. So it became common that when he would come through there, he would go there to eat. Then she said to her husband, I know this man is a man of God, he's very, very sanctified. Then he always comes by. When he's in this area, he stops in to eat. But it's not right that he stops in and to eat with us and he doesn't have such a good place and so forth. Let's build on something onto the house. And we will put there a bed, a shulchan, and a table, and a kisei, and a chair, a menorah, and a lamp. In other words, we'll build him his own private quarters. So when he comes by, he'll have his own private quarters. And when he comes to us, he'll have his own private quarters there. So this was an enormous effort, building on, adding to the house, in order to accommodate this guest. So when Elisha came by and all of a sudden he saw he had his own private quarters, he couldn't get over it. That they went through so much trouble to build on a total cottage for me. So he said to his servant, his the one that helped serve him, Gehasi, Krola Shunami, says, call her. So she came to him. He said, you went to all of this enormous trouble for me. What can I do for you? Perhaps I can speak to the king for you, or El Sar Hatzovo, or to the general, to the commander in chief of the army. And she said, "Beseich ami onechi yoshavus." She said, "I dwell amongst my nation." Now here there's a question. He wants to do something for her. He says, "Perhaps I can speak to the king for you, or to the commander in chief of the armies." What does she have to do with the king, and what does she have to do with the commander in chief of the armies, and what are they going to do for her? So what was his question? Secondly, what did she answer? She said, "She said, I dwell amongst my nation." The very esteemed late Rabbi Loi, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, showed me where the Malbim brings the Zeir HaKodesh on this. And the Zeir explains that when he said, "Perhaps I can speak to the king," he meant Malkei Shel Olam, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, the king of the world for you. I'm a Novi, I'm a prophet. I have a lot of influence there. So let me speak to the king on your behalf, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or if not the king, at least Sarah Tzovo, I can speak to one of his chief commanders, and I'll bring your tefillah to him, and he will bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps that I can do for you. So now we understand the question. What was the answer? B'seich ami anechi yoshavas. She turned it down because she said, "I dwell amongst my nation." So the Zayah said, "What did she say?" She said, "Heshiva, sheinareitze lifreish mina klal utfilas harabim." She says, "No, I do not want to be separated from the nation. I do not want to be separated from the heart of the people or from the prayers of the people. I want to go the same route as the people do. And I want my prayers to be together with the people." This is what she answered. In other words, she didn't want to distinguish herself, to separate herself from the people. We find that in the Mishnah Masechet Ovis, Perikvav Mishnah Zayin, where the Mishnah tells us that of all of the crowns given to Israel, the crown of Torah is the greatest. It is even greater than the crown of Kohuna, of priesthood, and the crown of Malchus, of kingship. And it is so great, it also is so difficult to acquire, more difficult than the other crowns. Ubemem has dvori materi niknes. And it takes 48 attributes. The person wants to have keser shel Torah, he wants to become a great Talmud Chochem, a great Godel B'Torah. He's going to need 48 attributes to acquire. And the Mishnah lists off all of the 48. And amongst them is that he must be Ohuv V'Ehev. He must be beloved to the people, and he must love the people. Ohuv min habriyos v'ohev es habriyos. Beloved from the people, and love the people. The question is asked, this is a very good midah, this is a very good quality, but what does this have to do with the acquiring of Torah? You tell me that you have to learn a lot, you have to have a good mind, or you have to be a good Talmud. Okay. Ozen Shamas, you have to have a good ear to listen. Fine. But what do the people have to do with it? Well, you have to be beloved to the people, and you have to love the people. This is the question that's asked. And the Maral says as follows. He says, you shall know that Torah was never given to the individual. It was given to Klal Yisrael. Ar Yerusha. It states, Torah Tziva Lono Meisha Meirosha Kihilash Yaakov. Torah was given to Moshe as an inheritance for the Kehilas Yaakov, for the congregation of Yaakov. Our claim to Torah is not as coming as an individual. It was never given to the individual. It was given to Klal Yisrael, Kehilas Yaakov. Our claim is that we are part of Kehilas Yaakov. Not only Torah was never given to the individual, Torah could not be given to the individual. Because an individual is very limited, no matter how great he is. This is with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu. But otherwise, no matter how great he is, he's very limited. He has his limitations, he has his parameters. And Torah has no limitations. It has no parameters. It encompasses the whole world, the whole universe, the whole civilization. It was given 26, years, centuries, generations before the universe was created. So not only it wasn't given to the individual, it could not be given to the individual. Therefore the Maral says that you want to acquire Torah, you have to be Teich HaKlal. You have to be part of the Klal Yisrael. If you separate yourself from the Klal, if you Nivdal min HaKlal, you don't have a chance. You'll never have a chance to become great in Torah. That's why one has to be Ohuv, beloved to the people, and Ohev, es habriyos, and loves the people. So therefore, then he's part of the Klal, and he then can come and inherit Torah, if he has the other attributes also. From here we see that it would be very befitting for a person to do everything in his power to minimize differences between himself and others, and Jew and Jew. And certainly not to maximize differences between he and others, and Jew and Jew. And not only do we see that a person should not accept upon himself what one might call hidurim or humras or chasidus. That means humras, hidurim, and chasidus. This is means where one goes beyond what the law is required. Even though many times, this is something very admirable. But if this is going to distinguish one, place barriers between one and the rest of the Am, the rest of the people, then he certainly should not do this, because he's placing an Havdolah, a Machitza, between he and the other people. But not only that, but it would be fitting for one to look for kulas. Kulas means leniencies in order not to distinguish himself from others, in accordance to what we're saying. And this is written. Where is this written? This is written by a very, very great Gaon, the Mesillas Yesharim. For those who are not familiar with the Mesillas Yesharim, the Mesillas Yesharim is one of the greatest Gaonim that we had, who lived in the 1700s. He was so great that when the Vilna Gaon saw his Sforim, he wrote many Sforim, and he wrote both in Nigla Nister, the revealed Torah, and in the concealed Torah. And when the Vilna Gaon saw his Sefer Mesillas Yesharim, which was one of his simplest Sforim, he said, there's not an extra word written in the whole Sefer. And when he heard that he died, so the Gaon said that, I was hoping one day, the Mesillas Yesharim lived in Italy, the Gaon lived in Lithuania, in Vilna. He said, I was hoping one day I would have the skus to walk to Italy to learn by his feet. So this gives you an idea of who he was. He has a number of chapters which deals with Hasidus. Hasidus means saintliness, to fulfill mitzvahs even beyond what one should fill these mitzvahs. And he goes into it with great length. But then he writes, and this is in Perechof, near the end of Perechof. He says, when one approaches Hasidus to fulfill mitzvahs more than one is required to by the minimal requirements, he says he has to examine the situation very carefully and all of the circumstances. And he gives a number of examples. So I'm going to quote two. Hinei chayev odem lishmor kol mitzvahs b'chol diktukehem lifnei misho hoye v'layir v'layivosh. Now, to fulfill a mitzvah in its minimal requirements, this we have to. And we must do it in every situation that we find ourselves, unless the Torah gives us permission not to. And we must not be embarrassed over it. As Dovra HaMelech said in Tehillim, Kuf Yutes, Va'adabra be'idosecho negin malochim v'le'evosh. Dovra HaMelech said that I will speak in your statutes even when I'm with kings. Dovra HaMelech was a king, and being a king, he had all types of foreign relations where he had to go and deal with kings from other great nations. And David said, no matter where I am or who's with me, Le Evosh, I will not be embarrassed. I will fulfill all of your mitzvahs. And it states, Havi Askin Omer, a person has to be strong, and a person has to be courageous, like a leopard, brazen like a leopard, when it comes to fulfilling the Torah and doing the Avedis Hashem. And he can't back up and say, look, I'm not going to do this mitzvah today because of such and such reasons. Omnum gam bezer sorech chiluk v'avchona. But he says, even this needs investigation, this needs thought. Ki kol zeh nemar al gufei ha-mitzvah. Because this is speaking about the actual mitzvah itself. Shechayovim anochnu behem chay v'gemura. That we are obligated to do it under all circumstances. Shebehem yosim ponav kechalomesh. Here we have to be like a chalomish, that's a slate rock. Ach yesh eze teisvus chasidus. But when we're speaking about teisvus chasidus, these are frills which are given to the mitzvahs. These are additions to the mitzvahs, which under normal circumstances is very admirable to do this. In other words, you fulfill the mitzvah in its total shlemus, in totality. Shim Yasi says, for example, Shim Yasi Shama Odom Lifne Hamayna Om. What will happen that if he fulfills this in this way before simple people? He's Chakualov. They will laugh at him. They will make litzonos because they don't understand this. He says, then a person should not do it. Because Nimtzo Chaitim and Enoshim Al Yodai. Because his Hasidus now becomes a hate, becomes a sin. because he's causing other Jews to sin. When you make yourself look different from other Jews, so other Jews are going to point a finger at you and say, look what he's doing, look at that. What is he? It's a misagas, and so forth and so on. Meanwhile, he's doing right. He's doing a mitzvah in its totality with a hidur. So these Jews now will be punished because they're making fun of him. And when you cause someone to be punished, that's a great avera. That's a great avera. So the Mesilas Yesharim says, in such situations, for example, you want to be a chosid, you want to be mahader. The way to be a chosid and the way to be mahader is not do the hidur. In that way, they will not laugh at you or speak against you or mock you. And in that way, you will not cause them to do this. That is the chasidus. He didn't have to do it. Such a something like that, then the real chosid would not do it, rather than do it. And this is what the Novi, what the prophet said, this is in Micho. Walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu secretly, where no one sees you. In other words, we have a contradiction in Psukim here, because in one place it states that I will fulfill your commandments even in the presence of kings, foreign kings, and I will not be embarrassed. And another, we have another pasuk that tells us, Vatznea leches im Hashem Elokecho, im Elokecho, go serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu secretly, privately, where no one will see you. This is a contradiction. So Mesilas Yesharim says the answer is as follows. When it comes to the actual minimal requirements of the mitzvah, this you're obligated under all circumstances, unless the Torah gives you a legal reason why you're not. Under all circumstances, even in the presence of foreign kings. But when it comes to doing more than the actual minimal requirements of the mitzvahs, many times the way to do that is bechadre chadorim, in your private quarters where no one will see you. Hatzneya, there you must walk secretly with Hashem. Vekamo chasidim gedolim hinichu mimin hoge chasidusam. The Mesilas Yesharim says this was the common practice amongst many great Hasidim, that they would practice, fulfill their Hasidus at home, the Chadrei Chadorim, in their private quarters, and not in the presence of the public. Mishum demekse keyohora, in order not to separate themselves from the public and make themselves look different or bigger than the public, and then the public will say, hey, look at that guy, look at what he's doing. And this way they will cause him to sin. He says this was the common practice. This was always by the Mikubalim. By the Mikubalim, it was always common that in Lithuania, you never knew who a Mikubal was. Nobody can tell you, was he a Mekubal? Was he a Mekubal? He never knew. Because if he was truly one, he would never let anyone know that he was. That was always the expression used, Chadrei Chadorim, in the most inner chambers, but not in public. This is one example he gives. Klal Sheldover, he carries on with this. Kol Mashu Ikri B'mitzvah. This is the principle. What is the actual minimal requirement of the mitzvah? Yaseil if they call malik, then you must do it, even if they'll scoff at you. Umasheini ikrei v'hu geirim skaik v'hitul. But if it's not from the actual minimal requirement, but you're adding to it, or it's a chumra, or it's a hidurim, chasidus, le yaseil, don't do it. Nimtzus lomad. So we hear from here, Shahabol is chasid chasidus amite. What do we hear from here? That someone who wants to be a true chosid, he has to weigh very carefully all of his acts as to what the ramifications will be. And what are the particular circumstances? In other words, it changes from place to place and from situation to situation. And who's there? And who's here and so forth? And according to the place. And if to abstain from doing will bring greater Kiddush Hashem and Nachas Ruach Hashem, he says, then the Hasidus is a prisha, to abstain, not to do. Yifreish v'layaseh. And he says, therefore, you have to weigh Hasidus not by its act. You have to weigh the Hasidus by its long-term ramification. That's one example he gives. Now, there he's referring not to do kulas, but there he's referring not to do chumras. But now he says even further. Brings another example. He says, and incidentally he says he can't write a guidelines book on every case. This is impossible, because each case is in accordance to the particular situation, in accordance to the where it is, who's here, what, when, the time, the place. It's not like a galem that you tell the Galim to do something, he carries on forever doing it. So that's why he says the Chosid has to use good mind. This was always an expression amongst the literature, which I always heard in tells, that if someone was doing something and they didn't like the Rosh Hashivas, didn't like what he was doing, but meanwhile he was doing a mitzvah, so he would say it's a mitzvah, so the answer would be, well, the mitzvahs were given to mention mitzechel. Mitzvahs were given to people who have seichel. In other words, you have to use your seichel. You have to weigh very carefully every situation and every place. And just because someone, it was proper to do it in one situation, doesn't mean it's proper to do it in the next situation. This is what he explains here. Now he gives another example. And this is also a very, very forceful example. He brings the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara brings, the Mishnah says in the first parak in Brachas, Daf Yud Amud Beis, Seif Amud Beis. There's a discussion between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. More than discussion, it's an argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel how one should read the Krishma. It's a mitzvah that we have to read the Krishma. Now, let's take the Krishma Shel Arvis. We have to read the Krishma in the evening, and then the Krishma in the morning. So it says, V'shochpecha uv'kumecha, when you lay down and when you get up. So Beis Shammai says that when it comes to the Krishma in the evening, you must sit down on a couch and lay down and say the Krishma, because it says, V'shochpecha, when you lay down. And when you say the Krishma in the morning, you must stand up. Uf kumecha, when you stand up. This is what Beis Shammai says. Beis Shammai emirim be'erev kolorim yate v'yikro. Ubebeke yamid. Shnema v'shochvach of kumecha. Beis Hillel omirim, Beis Hillel says no. Kolorim kere kedarkei. Now, he says you can, at night, you can say the Krishma standing up, sitting down, laying down. Because it says, besides of a shochvach of kumecha, it says velechta chavaderech, when you go on the way. So, and the Rashi says, kedarke, ebe kuma, obi shchiva, obi yeshiva, o mahalech. You can stand up, you can sit down, you can walk, you can, whatever way you want. So the Gemara comes along. So Basil says, so why does it say then, Ubisochrucha Ukumecha, when you lay down and when you get up? That's not telling you how you should say it. That's telling you when you should say it. It tells you that you should say the Krishma when people lay down to go to sleep. From there we learn Krishma Shel Arvis at night. And Ukumecha when people get up to go out. So there we learn that you say Krishma when you get up. So we have a machlekes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says that the Krishma Shel Arvis in the evening you must say Dafke laying down. Beis Hillel says anyway. The Mishnah brings the case of Reb Tarfon. Omer Reb Tarfon, Ani Oyisi Bo B'Derech. Tarfon says that I was traveling one day. Came evening. Time for the Krishma. So what did I do? Gohatisi. I was traveling. I stopped. Maybe he was on his horse, a donkey. I stopped. I got down on the road, the side of the road. I laid down and I said Krishma, like Beis Shammai said. Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Visokanti biatzmi. And I almost lost my life. Mibnei halistim. Because of the gangsters, because of the hijackers. They saw here, a guy had parked and he was laying down next to the road. They attacked me. Baruch Hashem, he says, I came out of it all right. So this is what he told the Beis HaMedrash when he came back from this trip. Omru lei, they said to him, Kedai ho yiso lochei bi'atzmecha. You're very lucky, because really you should have lost your life. Sho'avata adivre Beis Hillel, because you transgressed the words of Beis Hillel. Now, Reb Tarfon, he knew this machlekes. So why did he do it? So the answer is because of a hidur, of a chumrah. He said, why? According to Beis Shammai, you have to do a dafke laying down. According to Beis Hillel, anyway. So it's better to lay down. Now I fulfill both opinions. If I stand up or walk, I'm not fulfilling the opinion of Beis Shammai. But if I lay down, I fulfill both opinions. So it's certainly a hidur, it's certainly a chasidus, a chumra to fulfill both opinions. Therefore, he parked his donkey and he got off and he lay down next to the road. He almost got killed and they said, you should have got killed because you transgressed the words of Beis Hillel. The Gemara comes along at the end of Daf Yud Aleph. And he says, and the Gemara says, that, first the Gemara says, that in all of the disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, a bas kol came. This was before that. A voice of heaven came and said, halocha ke Beis Hillel, that the halocha is like Beis Hillel. But still, Reb Tarfon felt that if I do it this way, it's only like Beis Hillel. If I do it the other way, I fulfill both opinions, so it's better. So the Gemara comes along at the end and says, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omar, also kedivre Beis Shammai, someone who does this like Beis Shammai, chayiv miso, is obligated with his life. Tisnan, and he brings from our Mishnah, because Rav Tarfon told him that he did like Beis Shammai, and he almost got killed doing it, and they said, you're lucky you didn't, because you should have gotten killed, because you transgressed the words of Beis Hillel, you did like Beis Shammai. Now what does it mean he transgressed the words of Beis Hillel? He didn't transgress the words of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel said, Beis Hillel didn't say that you cannot read Krishma laying down. Beis Hillel said you could read Krishma either laying down or standing up. So this, that he went and he laid down, he did that and he fulfilled the words of all. So what does it mean he transgressed? So the Mesillas Yesharim writes as follows. He brings this Gemara, and where Reb Tarfon was machmir in order to go like Beis Shammai. And he says like this, even though he was machmir, but you should know, there was a machlekes in Klal Yisrael between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And this machlekes became a widespread dispute. And because of this, Yisrael was becoming divided. There were many that were doing like the house of Shammai, and there were many that were doing like the house of Hillel. And something like this is a churban, is destruction for Klal Yisrael, because we're one nation. We have one Torah, not two Torahs. And that's why the Baskol came down, the voice from heaven, and said the halacha is like Beis Hillel, well, you must do like Beis Hillel. And kiyumi shel Torah, the fulfillment, the existence of Torah in Israel, rides on our unity. And therefore we have to protect this unity, b'chol tekev, with our greatest strength. V'le'yechlas b'shum ponim, and we must not weaken in this in any way, in order to do anything that will make the Torah look chas v'chalil k'shtei Torahs, like two Torahs. V'alkein l'das ha'mishnah hazos, therefore this Mishnah held, you want to be a chosid, you want to be mahadir. So the way to be a chosid and be mahadir is to strengthen the unity of Klal Yisrael. Not divorce yourself from Klal Yisrael to fulfill both opinions. Why are you doing this? Sufficient. You didn't have to do it. According to Beis Hillel, says you could have continued riding your donkey and say Krishna. So why are you doing it? Because you want to be a chosid. You want to be mahadir. Not only will I fulfill Beis Hillel's opinion, but Beis Shammai's also. You want to be mahadir? You want to be a chosid? Then strengthen the unity of Klal Yisrael, not the disunity of Klal Yisrael. You should go out of your way to go dafke like Beis Hillel, and not like Beis Shammai also. V'alkein l'das ha'mishnah hazeh sh'yoseh chasidus hu l'hachzi k'Beis Hillel. Aye, it's a kula. We're not talking about not doing humras. It's a kula. Afilu l'kula. That it's more chasidus to do like Beis Hillel, even though you're being lenient, mila hachmer, than do a chumra like Beis Shammai. V'zelonu le'enayim lirais eze derech yishkon or be'emes ube'amuna. And this Mishnah is a light to our eyes in order to be able to lead us in the right way of truth. And the Torah, la'aseh hayoshel be'eini Hashem, to do what's upright in the eyes of Hashem. So here we have, again, this principle of the importance of the unity of Klal Yisrael, and of the importance, the vital importance of one not divorcing himself from the unity of Klal Yisrael, or causing a disunity in Israel. Even to where even we have to be extreme in not doing this. And therefore one has to do whatever he can in his power, not to create differences between Jew and Jew, and not to maximize, but to minimize the differences, in order that there should be an ichud, a total unity. Maybe one will ask the question, all right, this is very fine, unify yourself with all of Israel, but what do you do with a Rosho? You have someone who's a Jew, he doesn't keep the Torah necessarily, doesn't keep mitzvahs. He doesn't keep mitzvahs like I do. He doesn't keep as much as you do. But it's also a mitzvah to identify with them. We have many, many statements in the Chazal. The first parak of Masechet Oves, it states, Harchik mishochein ro, ve'al tishabel roshu. A person should not live in a neighborhood where they don't keep mitzvahs. He should not be a chaver together with a rosho. So we see there it's a mitzvah to divorce yourself and to separate yourself from such people. The answer to that is true, but we have to define it properly. And one of the places where it's defined properly for us is in Agoda Shel Pesach. We have Agoda Shel Pesach, which you're all familiar with, and it's a mitzvah to teach to teach Torah to Jews, to teach them about Pesach, and to teach them what happened on Pesach. And especially the night of Pesach. And the Haggadah tells us, "Keneged arba bonim dibur Torah," that the Torah is telling us how we should identify or not identify with four bonim, four sons, four types of people. The actual foundation of what the Haggadah is saying is that because four times in the Torah, four different places, is given the mitzvah of Yigadat Levincha, that you shall teach your children. And children doesn't mean children, it means anyone. Afilu Tamidei Chachomim, the Mishnah says, even Tamidei Chachomim have to teach. But four times it says, and each time it uses a different expression, and under different circumstances. So from there we learn that the Torah is referring to four different segments of the population. And who are the four segments? The four segments is the Chochum, the wise person, and the Rosho, the evil person, and the Tam, the one that doesn't know how to, the one that that is very, very simple, and the Sheni Yodei Lishal, the one that doesn't know how to ask. So the Gemara says like the Mishnah says like this. This is actually a Mishnah. Chochum Ma'amer. When it comes to the Chochum, to the wise son, there, Afato Emale Hilkilkas Apesach, there you must teach him everything you can. When you have people in Israel, and they are wise, and they have open, their minds are open, and they want to learn, that's a mitzvah to associate and to identify with them in totality. And you teach them everything that you can. The entire Masechta Psochim. Then we have another type of son, Tam. Who is the Tam? So it says, the Tam is the one that says, Mazes, what's this? The commentaries explain, what does it mean? This is a person that is incapable. When we say incapable, it doesn't mean because he's mentally incapable. We're not talking about feeble-minded people here. He's incapable of asking anything about mitzvahs more than, what's that? What's that? That's all he can ask. The Chacham comes and he says, Mo hachukim v'hamishpotim. The Chacham comes and says, what are the statutes, and what are the laws, and what are the testimonies? He has everything all sorted out. But this one comes in total simplicity. What is this? What? That's all he asks. So here we're speaking about a segment of the population that is very distant from Avedis Hashem, from serving Hashem. He's certainly not someone who's sitting in a yeshiva, learning Baba Kama. See? He's very distant. He's very distant when it comes to Torah and when it comes to mitzvahs. And when he sees something, he says, what's that? He sees a pair of tefillin, what's that? That's all he can ask. Why are you doing it? On him, the amate love. You have to identify, associate with him. You have to take him and you have to teach him Torah. And you have to teach him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, with a strong hand, and so forth and so on. So that's the second segment of the population. The third segment of the population is She'eni Yodei Lishul. He's worse. When he sees a pair of tefillin, he doesn't even ask what it is. When he sees the Korban Pesach, that the Jews were bringing sacrifices to Pesach, or he sees the matzah and morah, he doesn't even ask. So here we're speaking about someone who is so far from Torah and mitzvahs and Avedis Hashem, serving Hashem, that not only he doesn't ask, he can't ask like a chokham, like a wise person, and not only he can't ask mazos, but he is so far gone and apathetic, he can't ask anything. Nothing he asks. This would be very similar to the masses which are found today in North America, which are totally divorced from everything that's Judaism. They're not that close anymore where they ask. Used to be they used to ask, or they used to argue, or they used to contradict. No. They don't even ask. This is what we're speaking. So what are you supposed to do with a person like this? The Haggadah says, At Psachlei, you got to go after him. You got to ask for him. You got to take him by the collar. And you have to teach him. And actually, this the Maral brings is the main mitzvah. This is the mitzvah what we learn out from the posuk V'igadeto Levincha, and this is why it's called Hagodah. The main mitzvah of Hagodah is for this one, the one who can't even ask. V'igadeto Levincha, it says in the Torah, you shall tell him. This is what Hashem did for me when he took us out of Mitzrayim. So you have to take him and open his heart for him and open his mind for him, pry it open, and feed it with Torah. So you can separate yourself from him? No. So that's the third. So we're talking there about 3/4 of the segment of the population, or whatever the proportions might be. Now we have the fourth son. The fourth son, it's a mitzvah to separate yourself from, to divorce yourself from. But who is that? Rosh HaMahu'ayma. That's the Rosh. Who is the Rosh? So it says explicitly who's the Rosh. The Rosh is the Kofar B'Ikur. Agoda says the Rosh is the one who is Kofar B'Ikur, who denies the existence of Hashem. Person comes, a Jew comes, and he says, I'm not interested in your Torah. I'm not interested in your mitzvahs. Because there is no Torah, and there are no mitzvahs, and there is no God. And I'm not interested in anything else. And if you see that he really means that, then it says, he says, Moha Veda Zeis Lochem. He says, Pesach, the Geula, the redemption was not for me. There was no redemption. There was no Egypt. Ulafisha Hatzias Atzmim Mina Klal. We're not divorcing ourselves from him. He divorced himself from Klal Yisrael. He's Kofar B'Ikur. He's what the Chazal say is an apikoris. He has taken himself out of Yisrael because he has denied the very existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Torah and mitzvahs. He's taken himself out of the cloud. Don't bring him back. Afato hake yeshinov. There, let him go. Answer him sharply. Because there's nothing you can do with an apikoris like that. When one day he'll come back and he'll do tshuva, oh, then we can talk with him. But otherwise, there's nothing you can do with him. Be'emalei, and you tell him, you're right. You're right. Pesach has nothing to do with you. Because Pesach has to do with the geula, with the redemption. And to you, there was no redemption. There was no God, there's no Mitzrayim, there's no redemption, so you're right. It has nothing to do with you. Go. It has to do with us. So what do we see from here? Who are you obligated to associate with, and who are you obligated to divorce yourself from? That's the Rosh. And the Rosh is the one who is Kofar B'Ikur, who denies the existence of Hashem. This, actually, the Mishnah Novus brings, was the Midah of Aaron HaKohen. And it was the Midah of Hillel. In Masechet Ovos, in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Beis, it states Hillel Eimer. Hillel says, "Hemi mi talmidov shel Aaron HaKohen," that you should follow Aaron HaKohen. Now Aaron, being the Kohen Gadol, and he was in charge of the Beis Hamikdash, and we said the Beis Hamikdash was the unifying factor of Klal Yisrael. He, what did he do? It says he was Ayev Shalom. He wanted Shalom, unity amongst all of Israel. But he didn't just sit back and it doesn't come by itself. He pursued Shalom for Kol Yisrael. He had love for all Jews. Umakarvan la Torah, and he went out to bring them close to Torah. And the Ovis Rabban Osen says something very unique. The Ovis Rabban Osen in Perek Yud Beis, Os Gimel, says, when it's going into detail, how did Aaron do all of this? It says he would approach even the Roshoim, even the Rosho. And when he would see a Rosho, he would go over to him and he would give him Shalom, extend his hand and say Shalom Aleichem to him. The next day, and the Rosho was very, very, he was very uplifted. Because Aaron was not just no one. This was Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol, the great priest, the great Kohen. The next day when this Rosh was thinking of doing an Aveira. So he would think, oi, Aaron must think I'm such a righteous person because he came over special to give me Shalom. And now I'm going to do this Aveira. No, I better not do it. That's how Aaron was Makarev LeTorah. And the Binyan Yeshua, that's a commentary on the Ovest Reb Noson, he asks a kasha. He says, how did Aaron have a right to give him Shalom? Shalom is the shame, the name of Hashem. And the Chazal say you're not allowed to give Shalom to a Rosho. So Rosho, you don't give him Hashem's name. That's what we spoke about. How did Aaron have a right to do so? And he answers, he says, if you're using Hashem's name for mitzvah, then it's a mitzvah to do so. He gave him Shalom in order to bring him close to the Torah. Then it's a mitzvah to use Hashem's name. It's very similar to what we learned today in the Gemara, in the Dorim with the high school, where there where someone uses Hashem's name, Lizruze Nafshe, say where he uses Hashem's name to motivate himself to do mitzvahs. Hashem wants you to use his name. He doesn't want you to use his name in vain. If you're using it for a mitzvah, Hashem wants you to use his name. So he says, this is why. Because Aaron felt that if I would give him Shalom, I could be influence him to come back. So he's using Hashem's name for mitzvah. Now, what we've talking about this evening. Today, in the Jewish world, we suffer. It's an enormous calamity that we are divided and dispersed and fragmented and divided and dispersed between Jew and Jew. We're supposed to be separated from the nations. We are different than the nations, but between Jew and Jew. Between Dati Jew and Lay Dati, between religious and secular, which today has hit one of the worst crises in modern history in Eretz Yisrael, and between Dati Jew and Dati Jew. We are divided into camps. I often recall a number of years ago a well-known professor from the university, I believe it was the University of Jerusalem, came here. And someone introduced me to him. This is so-and-so. He's a Rosh Hashiva. His first question to me was, Me'eze machaneh ato. From what camp are you? And I looked at him. What do you mean from what camp I am? He said, I'm a Rosh Hashiva, not a Rosh Machna. What do you mean from what camp? I said, what do you mean? He says, from what camp? And he explained. Because every Jew in Israel belongs to a camp. It's a political camp. It's a religious camp. Whatever it might be. We are divided and divided and divided into machnas, into camps. And this is a great calamity of the generation. Now, what the way the Chazal taught and the Mesilas Yesharim teaches, this I can tell you I saw myself when I had the privilege to learn by the Lithuanian Gedolim. They used all of their power to unite Jews. They did everything possible to minimize differences between Jews. They would never accept upon themselves chumras or hidurim or chasidus in such situations where it will maximize differences between Jews. If they did it, it was bechadrei chadorim, in the private quarters, never in public. And they would not only not do chumras, but I would see consistently where they would search for every kula, every leniency possible in order to bring Jews together. And they were very makpid on this. They were very, very strong when it came to this with their Talmidim. They would rebuke the Talmidim. They would rebuke us very harshly if they saw that we were doing differently. And even amongst themselves, where they constantly had disagreements. I mean, when it came to halacha, to basking in halachas, or when it came to what is the best way to go, and they were confronted at that time, this was in the in the early 50s. And at that time, it was post-war, and the Jewish community was just becoming, the Jewish community in America was just becoming reestablished after the war. They only started to put in roots in the late 40s. This was the early 50s. And there were all kinds of problems. All kinds of problems. All kinds of confrontations and so forth. And the Rosh Hashivas and the Rabbonim were constantly having discussions and meetings and whatnot. What is the right thing to do? What is the best thing to do? And so forth and so on. And they had total disagreements with each other. Each one had his own opinion and each one had his own psak halacha. There was always disagreements. These disagreements never created machlekes. Never. Tells the Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe Elyomeir, had all kinds of disagreements in halacha with Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein had all kinds of disagreements in halacha with Rav Aaron Kotler. Rav Aaron Kotler had all kinds of disagreements with Rav Lazer Silver. And on and with Rav Henkin, this was daily life. This was daily routine. Yet this was all in halacha. All in opinions. But as far as personal respect, it was the greatest personal respect you could see. The Talmidim could never get over when they would see these Gedalim come together, the great honor and the great respect and the great love they had for each other. And this is the way it was in Lithuania. And this goes back from the Gro, from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, from Rav Chofetz Chaim, because they were Balei Torah. They knew Torah. And they built it on the Mesillas Yesharim. They built it on Sefer Yesodos, on the Mishnah Berachos. The hour is getting late, so we have to close. Let me close with one example. One example which I've mentioned a number of times to show how far they would go in order not to create differences and dissension. I believe this is probably in the first chelik, in the first volume of Igoros Meisha from Rav Moshe Feinstein's sefer, when he started to bring out his forum. His first sefer came out. I remember when his first sefer came out, I was in the yeshiva. I think it would have been probably in the late 50s. Yes, the first sefer was at Yoredeya. This is a shaila on Yoredeya. And there he's a Rav. It was actually Rav Pinchas Teitz, another from the Lithuanian Gedalim, the Rav of Elizabeth, New Jersey, wrote to him. There was what was known in America as blended whiskey. Blended whiskey, that's not the scotch that we have here, that sometimes says blended scotch. Blended whiskey was a whiskey, but it was blended with certain wines, a wine base. And therefore came a shaila. You can't drink wine unless it's made under hashgacha, unless it's made properly. And generally, I mean, they would put supervisions on wine, but not on whiskeys. So the Pinchas Teitz, he had some connection evidently where he could put a supervision on a distillery that would make this blended whiskey. And he wanted to know from Ramesha if he held it was good or not. So Ramesha goes through a whole tshuva on this shaila. Now it wasn't so simple whether it was kosher or not kosher, because there was a lot of details involved. So Ramesha comes out, he says it's a machlekes rishenim. There are many different opinions in this, in the early commentators, and this shaila. He says, according to the basic halacha, his opinion is it's kosher. but Raila Hachma, but it's something which is very good if you didn't have to use it that way. Because there are other Rishanim, other early commentators, that it would be non-kosher according to them. And therefore, he says, it's good if you could put a supervision on this major factory, this major distillery, and then we won't have to get involved in this machlekes. And he says, I also, personally, I don't drink it because of that. Then he says, except. Now here, Reb Meisha was from the Gdeli Rabbonim in New York at that time. And Gdeli Rabbonim from Europe that came. Speaking here of great people, he says, except. He says, sometimes I'm at a Kiddush, and Jews are there drinking alachaim, and the bottle that they're using is blended. So he says, I don't want to be perish minatzi, but I don't want to make differences. That someone should point a finger at me and say, look, he, it's not good enough for him. So I drink a little to make alachaim and be part of the group. But otherwise, at home, I don't use it. Now, how many people under such circumstances you have even amaratzim, total ignoramuses, that today will hold as a mitzvah to go out of your way to do such a thing like that, to show your differences. And here you have Reb Meisha Feinstein, who was to become from the Gdeli Hador, from the greatest poskim in the world. He's talking here about a man that Kol HaShas was Kemunach B'dikuladavya. It was this, he had the whole shas. He was holding here, in his pocket, in a basket. This is a man who learned all his life, day and night. And he was said, heaven forbid, I should do something together with the public that will make me look a little different, and someone's liable to make a remark, and he knew that's an Aveira. No. This is what he writes. This was always the Derech, the Hanoga. This is what the Mesillas Yesharim writes. This is the way that the light of the Torah shines, the way in which to go. So this is very clear now to understand what the Maral is saying. Even though there might be times when we have to make Nidorim, Nidrei Iser, and Nidrei Shvuos, we have to forbid upon ourselves certain things. Like you see someone says who's becoming addicted to liquor, and the only way he can stop is by taking a neder or a shvua or so forth. See? Nevertheless, the Gemara says, "Kol haneder ki ilu bona boma latzma." He should know he's building his own private altar. He's divorcing himself from the tzibor, from the Torah which was given to the tzibor. V'matayimoy, and at very he should go to a chocham and get it annulled. And if he fulfills it, that's as if he's bringing a sacrifice on the Boma. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am one, and you are one, and my Torah is one. And this is the strength of Klal Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.